a destitute 14-year-old Honduran boy who crossed the border into the US some time ago ends up working as a slave for a rancher who keeps him tied up like an animal in a stall and half starves him. This is just one of the many instances where children seeking to enter the US illegally fall victim to human traffickers or unscrupulous employers who exploit their vulnerability. Experts believe that around 17,000 human beings are trafficked into the United States each year to work in the sex trade or as slave labor. Worldwide, the figure of those trafficked within or across international boundaries is at least 700,000. The shocking story of the cruel exploitation of this particular Honduran teenager was told to me by Anastasia Brown, a representative of the U.S. Catholic Conference, who recently testified before a congressional committee about the evils of human trafficking. In her testimony, she suggested practical ways to protect children from this crime and urged the Obama government to implement the provisions of an anti-trafficking bill passed by the previous administration in December. I began by asking Brown to spell out the extent of the trafficking problem in the U.S.
Well, Susie, the number of people who are ever identified in trafficking is an extremely difficult number to pin down. The estimates in the United States have decreased. The estimates were 20,000 people being trafficked in the year, and the number is now 17,500. But I would stress that this is, in fact, not based on any concrete evidence in terms of the victims identified. We have seen an increase in the numbers of victims identified, and therefore the numbers of victims that we serve in the United States, but the increase is quite small, so in the hundreds versus in the thousands.
These 17,000 estimated people that are trafficked into the United States each year, where do they mostly come from and what do they end up doing?
We have seen victims from 77 different countries. The top countries that we see in a year would be usually Mexico, the Philippines, South Korea, Thailand, Guatemala, Honduras, but literally from all countries in the world. Most of the victims we've seen are, in fact, women. So of our proportion, 691 were women out of 1,272. And most of the victims were, in fact, in labor trafficking. So labor trafficking could be anything from forced situations in factories, domestic servitude, also agricultural industry. However, there is a significant number that were trafficked for sexual exploitation, and some of them are, in fact, trafficked for both reasons. So they're both in a forced labor situation and in a sexual exploitation situation.
And what percentage of them are minors, as far as you can gauge?
The estimates are that one-third of the 17,000 are minors. What we have seen is that very few minors are, in fact, identified. This has been a major problem in the United States. We have, in fact, served only 29 child victims in recent years. However, our estimates are, in fact, much, much larger. We have been working, the bishops have been working to ensure that child victims who are the most vulnerable are, in fact, identified. And working with the new legislation that has recently passed, we hope that, in fact, this will be the case.
Now, I know that you recently testified before a congressional committee about the evils of human trafficking, and you also suggested practical ways to protect children in particular from this crime. What were some of these practical suggestions?
Well, one of the most practical suggestions is that the children who cross our borders be screened for human trafficking. In typical enforcement of the U.S. borders, children are returned immediately to Mexico or to other joining countries without an appropriate screening. I traveled with the Bishop's Committee on Migration to our border in October of 2006, and found that most of the officials working, the U.S. officials working on the border, had no knowledge of how they could protect children who may in fact be victims of human trafficking. So both training of those officers and also the use of NGO personnel, non-government personnel, to assist them in screening of those children would be extremely important. These children don't typically know to speak to a law enforcement officer. In fact, they have been threatened not to speak to a law enforcement officer or are afraid of that law enforcement officer. So two of our very main recommendations are to be sure that training is taking place and that NGOs assist in that screening of children.
You mentioned earlier this Trafficking Victims Protection Act that was signed into law by President Bush shortly before leaving office. So what were the main provisions of this act? Obviously, you're seeing ways in which it can be improved, but what does it actually spell out?
What it allows for is the immediate transfer of children who are in federal custody from law enforcement to the Department of Health and Human Services. It allows for this screening of at-risk children. It allows for interim benefits for children. What we found was that children were not actually being provided for before they were fully recognized as being a victim. It allows for this specialized training of officers. It also allows that children who were abandoned and are given special immigrant juvenile status be supported after their identification as being a special immigrant. It recommends this better coordination in federal efforts, and it allows that children not be identified only by law enforcement. So it does allow that NGO participation in the identification of children.
Active is the role of the U.S. Church in helping to rehabilitate the victims of trafficking or speaking out about the evils of this practice?
We are very active. We at the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops actually hold the service contract for all victims of human trafficking who are identified throughout the country. So we implement a service provision to all victims to try to restore their dignity and help them to, if they wish to remain in the United States, help them to begin their role towards self-sufficiency. We're also members, we have a Catholic Coalition Against Human Trafficking, which has 20-some members of both Catholic institutions, religious orders, etc. And the main focus is to devise strategies for combating human trafficking and to devise strategies for public education and awareness.
Have you ever come into contact yourself with any victims of trafficking? And if so, could you share with us any especially memorable anecdotes that sum up their plight? Tell us a bit about their story, what they have to go through?
I would actually like to illustrate the story of a 14-year-old boy who the bishops and I on this trip to the border in October of 2006 came across. He was a 14-year-old boy who had come from a devastating situation in his home country of Honduras. His family was destitute, and he got it into his head that he would come to the United States to help his mother, to be able to send money back to his mother. He took a train through Mexico where he, in fact, came into contact with gang members. These gang members told him he had to kill somebody, threatened him if he did not kill somebody. He managed to escape that, walked across the desert, saw dead bodies of people thrown from this train, came into the United States, managed to get across the border, and in completely devastated condition, came to a rancher's house. And instead of finding help there, he was in fact placed into a slave situation where he was forced to work on this farm, kept with the animals, tied up, given water from the animal's trough, given no food or very, very small amounts of food. And what I thought illustrated how we can all help is a little girl who was on her way home from school saw this boy, and she went to tell her priest, and her priest, who in fact had received information about victims of human trafficking and how they could be helped, got in contact with the authorities, and this little boy was saved and is in fact now in a safe environment and is on his road to recovery.
He must have been very traumatized, though, by these terrible experiences, you know, just showing how evil sometimes human beings can appear to be.
He was very, very traumatized, and yet he was full of hope. He was, in speaking with the bishops, he was smiling. He was able to speak of his experience without breaking down into tears because he had received a lot of counseling, and he had been in communication with his mother, who now knew he was safe.
You talked earlier about the role of the church, but what about Catholic lay people? Do you think they're sufficiently aware of some of these terrible things that are being done, you know, the way these trafficked people are being treated?
I don't think that the majority of the Catholic people in the United States are really aware that this is happening within their own backyard. We believe that they need to fully understand this. As the story illustrated, it was in fact a girl speaking to her priest that saved this young child. We are asking that all parishes distribute information about victims of human trafficking. The bishops of the Committee on Migration have put forward a statement on human trafficking, which we are hoping is given full awareness by all the parishes in the United States. It's true that these people are victims, and they're often seen as illegal migrants, and the true story of what's happened to them is not fully understood.
I was speaking to Anastasia Brown, director of the U.S. Catholic Conference's Refugee Program.